Mike, can you confirm or deny Austin Matthews is a good hockey player?
Hey, fellas. Austin Matthews, yeah, pretty decent. I mean, there was talk today in Hockey Central that he was the best shot ever.
Hyperbole. Okay, maybe that's hyperbole.
Yeah,
potentially.
I know. I mean, what a shot last night in overtime, but best all time. I mean, Laine is right up there. I know you guys are just talking about Pettersson. He's got a pretty good shot, a pretty good one-timer. What impressed me most about the Matthews shot is not how it comes off, but more about his placement and how he uses the defenders as a screen. That kind of stands out for me. So if you're looking at shot, every time Laine comes in over the blue line in Winnipeg, he really scares me. But at the same time, not taking anything away from Matthews or Pettersson.
Yeah, Pettersson came in off the right wing last night and went to his – I mean, he's only like 25 games into his career, and we already know he's going top corner, and Devan Dubnyk actually made the save. I think that was the first time I saw it, so I was kind of surprised when Doobie made the save, but it's going to be life for Pettersson. They're not all going to go in. Thanks for doing this today, Mike. We wanted to bring you on because, you know, we know you did cross paths a little bit with Josh Levo there while you were with the Marlies a couple of years ago, and Levo scores in his debut. What kind of scuttlebutt you got on him for us?
Well, he looked good last night. I didn't see the whole game, but saw parts of it and looked pretty comfortable with Pettersson and Besser. So I was a little surprised to see him out there to start. I was thinking maybe they'd warm him up on a third line and kind of filter him into playing with those both of those guys, but it looked good. And unfortunately last night, that was a situation where special teams came into play. With Josh, he's, you know, big right-hand shot. He's got some grit to his game, really good down low player, can hang on to pucks. I think he upside, you're looking at 30 goals a year for him. Downside, he becomes a great checker for the Canucks. And I was saying this last year when he was kind of, oh, I don't want to say doghouse, but maybe not one of Babcock's guys, that he would have to get moved. And if he did, I'd watch out for him because I think he could be a big force in the NHL.
Mike, you mentioned that he was in Babcock's doghouse. Why, though? What part of his game that didn't Babcock like?
I'm not quite sure. I think if I had to guess, it would be more of a consistency issue. That would be one. He seems to kind of play 3-4 good games and then might have a night off. And with Babcock, as with any of these coaches that have been around, consistency is the one thing that they look for, especially in their forwards. And somebody, if they're on your top two lines, you need them to be scoring. I know Levo wasn't getting put on the top two lines, but he was getting second power play time here in Toronto. And he's another part, maybe Babcock, is he tries, Levo tries to maybe make that extra move once in a while, especially this year. I think he's got, he's got a lot of skill, and that kind of gets lost the way he can play tough down low and the grit that he plays with. Yeah, I don't really think you see that sometimes because he does see the ice so well. So the big two things are the consistency and just maybe making that extra play. When he keeps it simple, he's one of the best in that slot.
Mike Zigomanis joins us here on Reach Deep. So what was your first impression of Levo when he walked into the Marlies office while you were playing with them?
Yeah, so my last 2 years with the Marlies, I got he was a call-up. He was coming from Sudbury, I believe, the 1 year, and then he got traded. He came up from Kitchener the second year, and just quiet kid, didn't say too much, worked hard in practice, saw him put in the time after the guys left, or back then, Dallas Eakins had Black Aces come in before everyone, and I know talking with the assistant coaches that he was a guy they were trying to get in the lineup. I think he got one game in the playoffs the 1 year, or a couple, but it's one of those things where the guys come up for junior and they it's tough to get them in the lineup, especially after a full year. There's special situations where usually a first overall pick or top first round pick, they do get them in the lineup. So we had strong teams my last 2 years there, and didn't probably play in as many as you'd like to, especially when you get the call-up from Junior.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by former NHLer Mike Zigomanis. Mike, Vancouver right now lost 12 of the last 13. Playing on a team that that loses that many games can really suck. Now, you're doing all the right things, and all that praise is saying, hey, the team's still in it, but they're still losing. What kind of effect does that have in the room?
Yeah, I watch most of Vancouver's games. Last night's a perfect example. I think they outplayed Minnesota, and they end up losing the game. If you look at last night, special teams was the factor, right? I think was Minnesota. Were they not 3 for 3 on the power play?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so that's I saw two, but yeah, when you're giving up 3 for 3 in special teams, I think two is tough to win a game. But when you give up that third one, you're going to lose most nights. So special teams seems to be dictating a lot of what the Canucks are doing this year. And I think they've had a lot of injuries. Birchie's still out. I mean, he's a big loss for the Canucks. And I had Jim Benning on Hockey Central with us a couple weeks ago when things were going really well. And I feel like teams kind of taking liberties against the Canucks. Almost, you know, you see the Pettersson hit, Besser, you see the top guys. It seems like teams are taking liberties on the Canucks, and it's not something you want to see. And there's one of two ways. What you have to do is, one, you have to get a really good power play, or two, you got to get a little bit tougher. And Josh Levo, adding him, he's got some grit. I don't think he has as much bite as I would say a Burrows, and if he end up panning out like a Burrows with the Sedin twins, I think that would be the best case scenario for the Canucks with Besser and Pettersson.
Mike Zigomanis, our guest here on Reach Deep. What is it? Because you were kind of like a coach for the Marlies, an on the ice coach for the Marlies those last couple of years while they were also.
I'm coaching with the UFT right now.
Yeah, you're coaching UFT right now, but what is it for those young players? You know, giving them those details on the ice and keeping their heads up when things aren't going their way.
Yeah, you have to play the game the right way. You're not just, when things aren't going well, you're not just going to show up one day and things are just going to turn around by themselves. You have to keep doing the right things. Keep out shooting teams. Keep out hitting teams. Special teams are a really big factor. And at the end of the day, if you're not getting goaltending, none of that's really going to matter. I think when you look at the Leafs or Winnipeg, maybe Nashville, even when their goaltending isn't great, they're at the point now where they can still muscle out some wins. But if you look at Minnesota, Vancouver, you can even see with Buffalo right now, when they don't get the goaltending, it's going to be difficult on them. So I don't think they're quite there. And, you tell the young guys, just keep doing things right. But when things don't go well, it's the sky is falling. And the run that the Canucks are on, it's unfortunate, but I think it's something they have to go through. And if they can just learn from this, I like the lineup they have right now. Once things start to click, once you get a little bit of chemistry, it feels like you guys are playing around with the lines. Every time I look at the lineup, it seems like there's somebody playing with somebody new and new lines. It's you guys are tough to keep up with, but that's as a coach, that's what you have to do. And with coaching UFT, we like to kind of keep our forwards in pairs and then mix in the one line mate when things aren't going well, or if we need a little bit of boost, or we need a little bit of change in our lineup to give us, just to give us a little change to the offense and a different look for teams. And sometimes that can work as well.
Yeah, Travis Green hasn't been shy to do that at all. Looking across the NHL, Mike, yesterday one of the big news items was Ryan Reeves on Tom Wilson. The hit, a blindside hit. Did you have a problem with the hit itself?
Yeah, we talked about it today. Doug McLean was saying that it was fine. It shouldn't even been a match, maybe a two-minute interference. I'm hearing a lot that it was late, but not as late as it looked. And my point was it's either late or it's not. And when you look at that, I think it is a late hit. He played the puck barely. It wasn't even a pass. It was kind of just a chip. So it wasn't a pass. It wasn't a shot on net. And then you have Reeves, who changes his course to go and hit him. And he, if you look at it, we're going to find out that Wilson has a concussion. You don't need head contact to get a concussion. And this is something that I don't think most fans know. Even most players maybe don't even know. But with all the research coming out, it's just the body moving one way and then getting abruptly stopped. And it happens especially when you don't know where the contact is coming from. And if you even look at the Bufflin hit the other night, he didn't get hit in the head, and that's a big body, and he sustained a concussion. It was that hit, and then also the Wilson hit from a couple weeks ago, he didn't get suspended for. That was something that I thought should have been, or he should have been handed down a suspension from the NHL, and nothing was done. So the NHL has to figure out what they're going to do with these late hit or hits where it's incidental contact, because that's what they're deeming it as. And that hit last night, listen, Ryan Reeves and Wilson are two really smart players, really good players. I know they're the meat and muscle on the team, but they can play hockey and they know the game. And both of those plays, I don't really want to see in the game. And a lot of fans don't want to see that either. I coach minor hockey 5-6 times a week. I go to different practices and I hear a lot of different parents. And when they see these kind of hits, they question having their kids in the game. So if the NHL wants to keep going on the path it's going with growing the game and expanding and including everyone, they're going to have to crack down, I think, a little bit more on these plays.
Well said, Mike. We really appreciate the time. We'll be watching on Hockey Central. Thanks for this today.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sportsnet 650.